Today I'm going to be talking about goals. And, you know, we all have goals in life, don't we? We started setting goals even as children, thinking that we wanted to be like someone that we knew, that we admired, that we appreciated in life. And we set goals of maybe the career that we wanted to choose for ourselves. Some go back even into high school to make that decision. We make decisions and set goals for our family as we work together as a family. We even have set goals for the ending of our career, which is retirement. And a lot of people already have made those goals and set those into place. We even have goals concerning our hobbies and things that we want to do in our spare time. The most important goals, though, is our religious goals, because these are the ones that determine the relationship that we have with our God. And even though I said we're talking about goals, today I want to talk basically about one goal. The one goal that I want to talk about today, it transcends all of these other goals that we may make in life. It is the most important factor in even in determining our other goals in life. And I want to talk about this particular goal because God requires each of us to choose this goal in life. And that determination is, are you going to follow God or are you not? We will choose within ourselves the spiritual direction that we will go. Either we will follow the commandments of our Lord, or we will choose to go in another direction. So today, we're going to talk about the goal, the most important goal that you will ever set for yourself in this life. First of all, I want to suggest to you this. Everyone chooses their own goal. We decide what we want to do in life, and this is true in any aspect of life. Now, I don't mind telling you, I changed career goals 3 times before I reached the age of 25. Because I decided that something that I thought I wanted, I didn't want, and I thought I wanted something else. And then when I got to that something else, I realized I shouldn't have chosen that, and so I decided a third one. And I'm probably not the only one in this room who have ever done that. We change our goals based on information that we have learned about what we have chosen. And we have also made a determination if this is something that we can or cannot do. If it is something that pleases us, something that we enjoy. You know, it's always been said that if you love your work, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's very true. So it's very important that we use all of our abilities to choose goals wisely. It may be that you will choose of your own free will what you are going to do in life. It may be that you are forced to make a decision about the life that you are choosing. It may be that someone else has influenced you to make a particular decision in life. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes right down to it, it is your call. You will make that decision within yourself. Regardless of the situations that you find yourself in, you make the decision. Now, here's the whole truth of this lesson. I may live my life without any thought of its goal or its end, but God will still hold me accountable for that. I may go through my entire life and never give God a thought, and I will still be held accountable for that. And the fact of it is, God is going to allow me to live my life any way that I want to. Now you may say, well, that's not right. Well, it really is. Because God doesn't want us to follow him by force. He wants us to follow him by love. And God will allow me to make that decision. You know, and if we decide that we want to live a useless life, he's going to let us do that. You know, you can drive over into East Albany. Usually you see it in East Albany more so than anywhere else, or maybe downtown. People who basically live a useless life. And they live on the streets, and they walk up to every car to ask for money, for food. They've chosen that. No one made them do that. And they may say, well, I'm a victim of society. Well, that may or may not be true. The story is told of a man who was a homeless man and lived on the streets in New York. And a wealthy businessman was walking by the street one day and saw this man sitting there on the street side and told him, he said, I'd like to help you if you would allow me. Oh, and the man jumped up. He thought, well, he's going to give me money and I'm going to be able to, whatever it is he does with the money that's given to him. So what the man does, he takes this homeless man and he takes him to the barber shop. And he gets him a good, clean haircut, shave, and he looks so nice. Then he takes him to a men's clothing store, and he buys him a brand new three-piece suit, socks and shoes, where he looks like a businessman. Takes him to his business, sets him down in his very own office, behind his own desk in a chair, gives him a title and puts it on the desk in front of him. He said, I have set you up for life. I have given you all these things, so now you can succeed. The next day, this man walks into work, and he starts looking for the homeless guy that he has helped in so many ways. He goes to the man's office. He is not there. So he goes outside and he starts walking, looking for him, seeing if he can find him, maybe on his way. And then he passes by the same spot that he found this man. And do you know what he found? He found a fresh-cut, clean-shaven, three-suit man sleeping on the side of the street. He didn't want to be a businessman. He didn't want to succeed in life. He wanted to be on the street. God's going to give you that choice if that's what you want to do with your life. You can live your life in vain, where no matter what you do doesn't amount to anything, and God will let you do that. You can live your life in ignorance. And what I mean by ignorance is simply lack of knowledge. You may choose not to know something. We've all been through school, and we've all sat in the classroom, and we may have done this ourselves, but we know there's people who sat around us who decided, I am not going to study for this test. I am not going to listen to the teacher. I am not going to gain this knowledge to have an understanding to help my life later on. And he can. No one's going to make him do it. But God will allow him to live his life in ignorance. But there is one thing that we need to be aware of when we make choices like this. We can do these things, but we cannot escape the consequences of them. Paul paints a very clear picture of this fact in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There is not a judge in America that will tell you ignorance is an excuse, because it's not. And you will not stand before God in judgment and God tell you your ignorance is an excuse, because it's not. And you know, I may live my life and really not know about God. I may live my life and not really think about God and live and see myself deliberately rejecting God and think I'm okay because I'm doing what I want to do. But ignorance of God is a choice. A lot of people made the choice to be ignorant of God this morning. That's why we have so many empty pews. And every other church building in this world has empty pews because of that very reason. Ignorance of God will exclude one from the life that God offers us. Ignorance of God does not excuse us from answering to Him about our life. Again, listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, beginning. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You are without excuse by saying, I don't know this God. I've never seen this God. Don't know anything about this God. Look around you. God is everywhere. In the next few weeks, He is going to make a tremendous presentation with spring. And yet we will look at that and say, oh, it's just God. Give Him no thought. Give Him no praise. Give Him no glory. So God will allow me to do this. He will allow me to choose my goal, regardless how useless, regardless how vain, and regardless how ignorant it is. But Paul says this in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We are responsible to God for our lives. Now here's another thought. Because my life's goal is mine to choose and mine alone, and no one else is going to choose it for me, I can't blame God and I can't blame anybody else when things don't go the way they're supposed to go. You ever notice the first thing people want to do when something goes wrong in their life? They want to point that finger at somebody else. It's their fault. You know, this happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve, why'd you do this? It was the snake. It was the serpent. He did it to me. Adam, why did you do this? Well, Lord, it was this woman over here. She gave me of the fruit and I ate it. But listen, that's not all Adam said. Adam said, this woman who you gave me. God, this is your fault. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, why did God do this to me? Why did God let my child get sick and die? Why did God take my job away from me? Why did God do this to me? Friends, God has done nothing like that to you. We can't blame God when things, because of our choices, have gone wrong. And we can't blame God because someone else's choices went wrong. Because God allows us to make our choices in life. And we can't blame someone else for it. And we certainly can't blame God. My life's goal will be my choice. And God will let me do that. As I said earlier, it happened in Eden. When Satan appeared to Eve, what did he do? He lied to her. He deceived her. He showed her in his way of thinking how much better her life would be if she would listen to him and not listen to God. She could even be like God. Oh boy. But there is one thing that he did not do. He did not pull that fruit off of that tree and stick it in her mouth. She made that choice. And here's another thought. When she gave it to Adam, he didn't have to take it. He could have said, wait a minute, Eve. God has said don't do this, and thrown the apple aside, or whatever it was. We all think it was an apple. It probably wasn't. But the fact is, Eve didn't take that fruit and stick it in his mouth. He did it himself. We can't blame Eve and Adam for Satan. We can blame Satan. He started it all. But we can't blame one another, and we sure can't blame God. You know, same thing with God, with Cain and Abel. Cain made an unacceptable offering to God, and God was displeased with it. And you know what it made Cain do? It made him get mad. God, why didn't you accept my offering? Well, you know, and God told him, said, you know, if you had done what I said to do, if you had done it right, would you have not been accepted? No one made him kill his brother in anger. But he did. Choices are ours to make, but sometimes they're not without consequences. Paul said in Romans 5, verses 16, 15 and 16, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Only you can determine your life's goal to follow God or not. And believe me, my friend, the wrong choice brings consequences. We had one who always did it the right way, and that was Jesus Christ. And Jesus' example is really special in one way, because he chose his life's goal even before he was born and came to this earth. In fact, he chose his life's goal even before the earth itself was created. John 1 verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word here is actually talking about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. So Jesus made his goal before the earth itself was created. Before, as Peter said it, before the foundations of the world in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 through 20. Jesus has always had as his life's goal the salvation of your soul. Even before the first man was created. And this foreknowledge of Jesus and his goal, it meant that he chose to become flesh and blood. John 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as if the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It means that Jesus chose to live this earthly life, despite leaving heaven and the wonders of heaven. He chose to walk away from all of that. Philippians 2 verse 5 beginning, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He chose this. Who in here would do that? Who in here would take their Christianity that serious that you would give your life for it. And you would give your life so that someone else could have it. The body of Jesus was chosen beforehand to be the instrument that would accomplish salvation for all of mankind. Now you might ask, why did he do that? Why did he choose this particular goat? Well, to me, without question, it was all about love. It was all about God's love for the lost sinners. And I call this the golden verse of the Bible. It's a wonderful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus made this choice. I would like to think that that's why all of us are sitting here today and made the choice to follow him, because of this love that God gave for us. But you know, Jesus' choice to take part went a lot farther than just his love for us. You see, he had his life goal to do the will of his Father. So it was a personal thing with Jesus as well. He did it for our salvation, but this is what God wanted him to do. And he wanted to please the Father. John 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." God's will meant that he was to give his life as a ransom for our soul. Matthew 20, verse 27 and 28. Doing God's will required choosing death for himself rather than life. Everything that Jesus did was so he could accomplish his goal in doing the Father's will. Now let's talk about our goal. Choosing our goal. What is our life goal? And like I said at the beginning of this lesson, we've all made set goals for ourselves. Our occupation in life was a goal that we set for ourselves. The husband or wife that's sitting next to you was a choice that you made and a goal that you set for yourself. The family that you have was a goal that you set for yourself. We've all set goals. But what is our life's goal? What does it mean? My life is of value. I do hope you realize that your life is of value. You were created in the image of God. Let us make man in our own image. He was talking about a spiritual image. He wasn't talking about this ugly mug right here. We are made in the image of God. And I must accept the fact that I was born into this world in the image of God. And God had a goal in mind for me. And that was to live for him, to serve him, and one day live with him. And we have to do everything that we can to achieve that goal. We are created for the goal of seeking and finding God and living for him as his children. What this means that if Jesus is not our goal, if he is not our purpose in living, then my life is misdirected. I have gone back to what I said earlier. I'm living a life that is useless. I'm living a life that is vain. I'm living a life that holds no future. Oh, you know, we begin our career and the future looks great and it's just wonderful and we're so excited about what we have. But it's not the end. We haven't reached that point yet. And I don't care how long you've been retired and how long Uncle Sam has been sending you that check. You're not through yet. You haven't reached that goal yet. Don't throw it away. Don't decide I want something else. I must, like Jesus, for my life to be valuable to God, I need to serve Him. I need to have a goal of pleasing Him. You know, King Solomon, he lived a life of pleasure. He thought of things to do to have a good time. No doubt about that. And he in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he gave us a long list of all of these things that he tried. And he set them for goals for himself. All these wonderful things he was going to do. All of these accomplishments that he was going to make. And he did every one of them. And then when he got finished with them, do you know that man's life was still empty? He was considered to be the wisest man on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ. He most definitely was one of the richest men in the world that has ever lived. And when it came to the end, his life was empty. And you know, that's about the way it is with the physical rich in the world today. When it's all over and done with all their riches and all their goods and their lands and their houses and all of this, their life is empty. Most of us in this room remember a man by the name of Howard Hughes. At one time, he was notified as being the richest man on earth. His last hours, or his last days, were spent in a little island. He had himself barricaded to where you couldn't come into a room where he was until they sprayed you down with Lysol to be sure that you didn't have something that he could catch and cause him to die. His last hours were spent on a jet that was flying him to the States that could have saved his life. But he had to see to it, first of all, that jet was germ-free before he would allow himself to get on it. And he died in flight. He was a miserable, empty man. And he was the richest man on earth. But he was empty. Our goal don't need to be like that. Our goal don't need to be in the things that we have, the places that we go. The money that's in our bank is useless to us when they close the lid of that casket. Our goal needs to be God. Listen to Solomon's final words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Did you get that? This is man's all. In other words, it's the only thing of importance. It's the only thing that matters. And you can sit there with a stiff chin and think, well, I'm not buying any of this. You better buy this, folks. This is the way it is. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Make sure that your goal is right, that God is your goal. I hope that this lesson has helped you to see that. Because my friends, you have to decide what your life's goal is. And as I said at the beginning of the lesson, this goal as to whether or not you serve God will help you determine all of the other goals that you set for yourself in life. I like to tell people this. Before we moved down here, really before I started looking for church work, I interviewed for a job and it was a place called Wiley Laboratories. It was an electronic firm, and it was a fascinating job, and it was offered to me. And it was a wonderful job to have, a wonderful position. I could have done well at Wiley Laboratories. And I was just about ready to say okay. And then he told me something that I did not want to hear. For you to be successful in this job, it has to be number one with you. It has to come before your family. It has to come before your religion. You will be working Sundays. You will be here from the time the sun rises to the time the sun sets. And I said no. Because all that security, and believe me, I had gone about 2 years without any job security at that point in time. All of that security, all of that prosperity that was mine, all I had to do was reach out and take it. Was not worth the one goal that I had set for myself years before. It wasn't worth the second goal to take care of this young lady and our two children. You see, things just aren't that important. The goal has to be for God. So where is your goal today? It is your decision to make. I can't make it for you. The person sitting next to you can't make it for you. Your husband, your wife can't make it for you. You have to make. But remember, you will be held accountable for the goal that you set for yourself. Our true goal is found in Jesus Christ. So if you see today that you are outside of Christ, change your goal. Put your goal of making Christ the most important thing in your life. Give your life to Him. Obey the gospel and follow Him, serve Him, so that someday that goal will be a reality. And you can be with Him. And Christian friend, if you made that goal in your life and you have deviated from that course and you have gone back into the world and you have set other goals for yourself, and oh, they may seem grand and they may seem important, let me tell you something, friends, in the end, they're empty. They're useless. Reset your goal back to God. Allow Him to lead you in the right way. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we ask that you come while we stand and sing this song.